In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Veterans Day, Friday, November 11, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Mr. Trump went to Washington yesterday. He's never been in politics, and now he's meeting the players. Donald Trump, the president-elect of the United States, spent the day meeting with President Barack Obama for the first time, as well as Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. On this Veterans Day, 2016, more women are serving in the military than at any other time in history, 15.5%. However, it does appear that the House and Senate negotiators are preparing to abandon a provision requiring our daughters to register for the military draft. A survey conducted by the Center for Military Readiness found that the top concern from women in the military is sexual assault, top worry for men in the military, false accusations of sexual assault. The film Hacksaw Ridge tells the story of Desmond Doss, a World War II Christian soldier who refused to carry a gun because he felt called to save lives. While at first faced with the threat of court-martial and severe abuse at the hands of his fellow soldiers, God used Doss to save 75 men on Hacksaw Ridge in the Battle of Iwo Jima. He is the only conscientious objector ever to receive a Congressional Medal of Honor. Doss took a private vow never to handle a gun after confronting violence in his home. The film respects the hero of the story for his commitment to reading the Bible, praying, attending church, obeying Jesus' commandments, and loving his enemies. Christians should be aware of profanity and modesty issues in the new Mel Gibson film. Planned Parenthood's president, Cecile Richards, told her constituents in a public email that she is, quote, devastated, angry, discouraged, and shattered, unquote, by the election of Donald Trump. Meanwhile, pro-lifers are guardedly hopeful that Trump will follow through on his pro-life commitments. The World View spoke to Carol Tobias, president of the National Right to Life, about whether Trump would defund Planned Parenthood.
I think he will. Donald Trump, several times throughout the campaign, said that as long as Planned Parenthood is doing abortions, they should not be getting tax dollars. And I think he will stand by that promise.
One ministry working in Iran reports 200 new followers of Jesus Christ in just the month of September. Sure, there's a lot of persecution against Christians in Iran, but that does not stop the work of God. Elam Ministries in Iran says there were only 5,000 Christians in Iran 20 years ago, and now there are at least 300,000, an increase of 100-fold. Revelation 7 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. China is trying to keep children from going to church with a new scheme. China Aid reports that the Chinese government is setting up so-called community centers and weekend activities to distract the children from being in worship. The command remains the same for Chinese and American parents alike. Fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. The Church of Scotland is now opposing the authority of God's Word and advocating a complete ban on spanking. The convener of the Kirk's Church, speaking to the Scottish Parliament this week, said the members of Parliament need to, quote, send a clear message that resorting to violence as a means of disciplining children is not acceptable, unquote. God's Word tells us in Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Iraqi troops are still closing in on Mosul as they clear the path of ISIS resistance. The advance has slowed up in order to protect innocent citizens scattered throughout the neighborhoods of Mosul. The U.S. stock market reacted optimistically to the news of Donald Trump's win on Tuesday. The Dow Jones set a new record of 18,873 closing 200 points higher for the day and 500 points higher for the week. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Friday, November 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2016, the 10th wedding anniversary of Amy and I. Check out our love story at adamswedding.net. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast, my friends. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And Steve Vaughn's in studio with me today, also a homeschool father of six. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about the elections, but moving towards the influences that are influencing the American mind for good or for ill. And the media coming out of this election, they are still catatonic. They're not talking. Yeah. Somebody check that guy's pulse over there. I'm not sure these guys have quite woken up to the reality of what happened. I mean, this is just the opposite of what they had predicted. They had predestined a different outcome. And now the President of the United States is going to be Donald Trump, which was really the last guy on their list.
Yeah, even some of the conservative media, their hope was that Trump would sort of keep up and make it a good game, at least make it interesting. But almost everybody had this as a landslide for Hillary.
The media is gone catatonic on the 2016 presidential elections, my friends, because the media thought they had so much control over the future of America, but the proud has been laid low. The proud media has really been laid low in the 2016 elections. And, you know, did the media contribute to Trump's win? I'm going to say that actually they did contribute to Trump's win.
Yeah, I would
agree.
And
they did it in a very interesting sort of way. The media is more politically biased today than it was in the 1970s. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Much more. According to an Indiana University study, which, by the way, apparently this Indiana University study has been following it since 1970. In 1970, 27% of journalists were Republican. Now, that's not very high. But it's only 7%. But it's only 7% now.
Yeah.
So 7% of journalists now are Republican, friends, down from 27% in 1970 and 18% in 1982. So it's a steady decline.
Yes.
From 1970, 27% in 1970, all the way down to 18% in 1982, and then down to 7% now. The only 7% of journalists in America are Republicans, my friends. And so the media is more politically biased than ever before. So 93%. Arguably 93, probably a little higher than that even, but 93% of the media were opposed to the Republican Party and to the election of Donald Trump as the next president. 93% might have been higher than that, 95, 97%. Now, the media is more politically biased than it ever has been since 1970s, and they have overcorrected for themselves because, here's the other point, my friends, according to the recent Gallup poll that's been following this for years and years and years, trust in the media is also at an all-time low. So, the media is more politically bent or biased towards the Democrats, and the trust of the media is at an all-time low. These two things converge in the 2016 elections, and so only 6% of Americans have a great deal of confidence in the media. 7% of journalists are Republican. That is 93% of journalists are registered Democrats. And only 6% of Americans have a great deal of confidence in the media. So 7% of journalists are Republicans. Only 6% of Americans believe them anyway. And so now they listen to the media and they say, well, I'm going to do just the opposite of whatever yeah. the media wants us to do. So I think it's a rebellion against the media and the extreme bias that has happened since the 1970s. My friends, in 1976, 72% of Americans had a great deal or fair amount of trust in the media. In 1976, 72% of Americans had a great deal or a fair amount of trust in the media. That was after Watergate.
Right.
Now that number is at an all-time low of 32%, as revealed by Barna just about a month ago.
Wow. Yeah, and there it's just almost delightful to sit there and watch them go, what?
Yeah.
I thought we had control.
Well, they don't have control. Why? Because Americans don't trust the media anymore. Certainly Donald Trump capitalized on that, and you heard him hammer on it and hammer on it. If there's anybody who could hammer on something,
Yeah.
It was Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
It was probably the best hammerer who could hammer on whatever he wanted to hammer on. So he had a hammer, and he could hammer.
That's
and
right.
he hammered.
In the morning and in the evening, all over this.
All day long.
All over this land.
That's right. Boy, did he hammer. He hammered on the liberal bias of the media, and Americans said amen to it.
Yeah. And they, I really think you're right, that the influence that the media had was the opposite of what they were thinking. It's, you know, they said, vote for Hillary. And they said, well, maybe not.
Maybe we should have said, vote for Trump, and then they would have done the opposite.
Yeah.
Friends, the media bias has backfired. The media is no longer as powerful as it once was. Of course, very few people are buying the New York Times anymore. The newspapers are going bankrupt. The mainstream television markets are headed down. And people are getting their news more and more from the decentralized forms like the Worldview in 5 minutes. Little guys like us who can broadcast in our basements or, in the case of Adam McManus, from his apartment. We're reaching out to thousands and some to tens of thousands. And so they just don't have the media. The mainstream media does not have the complete monopoly over the opinions of men as they did in the 1980s and 1990s. Be back in just a moment with this, my friends. The media doesn't control politics, but it still controls culture. And that's the point I'm going to make next on the Generations broadcast. Stay tuned. This is an important broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio as we take a look at the influence of media, the influence of celebrities upon the way that the rank and file vote and the way that the rank and file think. Do the cultural leaders of the day have any impact whatsoever on the way that people react? Now, turns out that the media has less and less influence upon politics. In fact, it appears that the 2016 presidentials indicates a backfiring against the media for their highest bias ever. They are biased politically more than they ever have been since 1970 by a long shot. So we have the highest bias ever and the lowest confidence ever converging on the 2016 presidential elections. I think that's interesting, Steve.
Yes, it is.
Now, the cause for this low confidence in the media, I think, has to do with, well, I think God has really, you know, the heart of the king is in his hands, and he turns it whithersoever he wills. That's the proverb, speaks of the heart of the king. Well, the heart of the democracy, the heart of the people also are in the hands of God, as much as the heart of the king is in the hands of God. You see, God controls the hearts of these people. Absolutely. As he controlled the heart of Pharaoh, and as he controlled the heart of Nebuchadnezzar, the heart of the king is in the hands of God. He turns it whithersoever he wills. And the same thing applies to the democracy, friends. So God has put doubt in the minds of the populace and when it comes to what the media is telling them. Also, I think people are sensing more and more that the media is overcompensating. You know, they can tell that they're leaning towards Hillary Clinton, and that 93% bias tends to reveal itself. They can't cover it up as much as they could 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, especially when she's being shown or being thought of, and I believe she is, a liar and untrustworthy, and yet the media is still going, yeah, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and so if they're supporting somebody who's lying and trustworthy, then maybe they're lying and untrustworthy as well.
Well, and I think people need to understand also that politics is a derivative of culture. And so even though that during this time of the year, people are saying, well, politics is everything, politics is everything, politics is everything, and the state will save us, the state will save us. The state will set a good direction for the culture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, the politics is the caboose, my friends. And the culture is more the engine. So the culture is what matters more than anything else. So here's the question now. Is the media in Hollywood influential still in leading the culture of this nation? And the answer is, well, how many people love their iPhone? How many people embrace Hollywood's movies? How many people are head over heels in love with Harry Potter and all of the other movies, mm-hmm. Star Trek, and all the other movies that crank out and present a pro-fornication outlook and a pro-homosexual outlook? I mean, friends, how many people walk away from the theater going, boy, I just didn't like that Disney movie. I did not like the way they portrayed feminism and the way they portrayed lesbianism or homosexuality. How many Christian evangelicals go, I got a beef with Disney? Well, let's see. There's one and there's two.
And they're all in the
same
room.
I'm not even going to have to take off my shoes and socks on this one, Steve.
Yeah.
Culture, friends. Culture influences people big time, especially the leading culture. You know what? 2012 UCLA study found that 85% of the Hollywood industry was pro-homosexual marriage. That was back when 51% of the American public. So 85% of Hollywood in 2012 was pro-homosexual marriage versus 51% for the American public. And Pew Forum, you know, has been tracing this since 2004. 31% of Americans in favor of homosexual marriage. That went to 51% in 2012 and then up to 55% most recently. And again, friends, this is a major shift. I mean, that's almost double the percentage in just, what, 12 years?
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest cultural shift in the mind of any populace concerning something like homosexuality or homosexual marriage in the history of the world. Think about any other time in the history of the world where nations embraced homosexual marriage. Well, number one, you can't find other periods of time where pagan nations embraced that. Even the most pagan of the most pagan of the most pagan nations, those that had no access to Jesus, no access to a Christian worldview for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, even those nations would never even dream of this. They allowed for a little bit of homosexuality in this closet or that closet. They allowed for a little bit of it here and there, but they knew they had to put a cap on it. Even the pagan nations understood that. But our nation has just head over heels, man. They have embraced this thing. And I think it's because the cultural icons of the day, they rule, man. They're in charge. Now, this is the point I make in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, and then The Tattoo Jesus, my book on culture, because I think people need to understand that the zeitgeist in pop culture is way, way, way more powerful than Barack Obama and Donald Trump and the next president of the United States. Come on, guys, get real. It's Hollywood and Nashville that rule. It's not Washington, D.C. Come on, Washington, D.C. is weak. Washington, D.C. doesn't rule the nation. Washington, D.C. doesn't rule the hearts of the nation. It's the powerful, powerful influences of Hollywood and Nashville. Think about the Country Music Association rewards that occurred just last week.
Yeah.
And there's Tim McGraw performing his Song of the Year, Humble and Kind. Okay, Song of the Year, Humble and Kind, for the Country Music Association award ceremony. And country music being the heartland music. Okay, this is the Kansas, Nebraska stuff. This is the kind of stuff that the Republicans that vote for Donald Trump are listening to in Kansas, Colorado, and up here in the Dakotas and down there in Nebraska. Friends, this is Americana. Tim McGraw is there at the Country Music Association award ceremonies performing his Song of the Year, Humble and Kind. And he's got the gay pride stuff prancing around him. Because the whole point of the song is be humble and kind, and then be as proud as you can be in the face of God. And by the way, it shows up on his album, Damn Country Music. Okay, so that's quote unquote. I don't like to say that word, but he is wishing the curse of God upon himself and his country music in the title song of his album, on which this song that celebrates gay pride is contained. So, my friends, this is Americana. This is the heartland. This is what American Christians who attend their nice little Baptist churches in Texas are listening to. They're listening to Tim McGraw and his song of the year, Humble and Kind, which, by the way, is also a little bit of a polytheistic song. As all the pictures, have you seen, I don't know if you've seen the music video, but it has pictures of the Hindus, the animists, the witch doctors, all of the evil, wicked religions around the world, including the Muslims, doing their thing, and he's approving of all these religions. And his big deal is you got to just, you know, have whatever religion you want, and be humble and kind, and be proud in the face of God, and be sure that you sleep with somebody you love. Of course, everybody says amen to that. Okay, so friends, this is country music today. This is the heartland, and this is the support for the homosexual agenda, which is alive and well in the heartland, alive and well amongst country music. And you think that might influence the 16 million Republicans that still listen to country music?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I mean, if you're getting bombarded all the time with this, you lose your sensitivity to it. It's just the same. It's just what goes on. This is part of everyday life.
And we've talked about the influence of country music that has set a direction towards adultery all the way back from Leroy Van Dyke's Walk On By in the 1960s. I think it's 63 it came out. And then Help Me Make It Through the Night with Willie Nelson. Hey, you know, the one night stand thing. And then on into the Follow Your Arrow from Katie Musgrave, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that was the pro-homosexual thing that came out 2 years ago. And now, of course, the award ceremonies are all about, you know, be as homosexual as you can be. Homosexuality is great. Let's celebrate it on the Country Music Association award ceremonies. Okay, my friends, that's the direction that America is taking. And do you think that the cultural leaders might have some influence upon it? Absolutely. The media does not have much influence on political issues anymore, but that doesn't really matter. The media and the Hollywood is still very definitely powerful on cultural issues.
Yeah, with politics, it's just more of the icing on the cake. The media still has the cake. And you can eat cake without icing. The icing is your politics, but if you can control the culture, they might be able to grab politics again in the future, and I'm sure that's what they have their sights set on.
Well, and of course, the inevitable direction is set by the culture, and the culture is controlled by principalities and powers. You know, don't fool yourself, my friends. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. It's satanic influences that are behind the Tim McGraws and the Casey Musgraves of the world. It's the satanic influences that set the direction, the zeitgeist, the wind blowing in a certain direction so that you're approving of adultery in 1963, you're approving one-night stands by 1973, you're approving of homosexuality by 2009, and then you're approving of bestiality by 2019. All because of the Hollywood and the Nashville Country Music Awards. This, my friends, is the direction set, and Hollywood is ahead. No question they're ahead in terms of the support of homosexual marriage. They're ahead of the curve. 85% of Hollywood actors are in support of homosexuality. Dolly Parton in support of homosexuality way before anybody else was. Way before the rest of the heartland was head over heels in love with homosexual marriage. She was in front of the curve. She was leading the little lemmings over the cliff. This is the sort of thing that happens amongst the cultural leaders, my friend. So, yes, the media is rather weak when it comes to politics. But who cares about politics? What matters is what's happening with the culture, first and foremost. And then, of course, we care about politics as it is a derivative of what is happening in the pop culture.
And a lot of this is because they train their own. They have their own schools and all of that. And so you're going to just keep influencing. The influence within the schools and the training grounds is much more than what's coming on your television screen and on the silver silver screen in the theaters and on the music videos and in the CDs and all of that that we listen to, they are training their own in order to get this even more. So 85% today, it's going to end up into the 90s in the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, World Magazine also wades in on this issue, and we're going to end the program on this. World Magazine, a good Christian magazine, news magazine, refers to a study conducted by a sociologist at the University of Buffalo, and it was actually covered by the focus on the family as well. But World Magazine speaks how celebrities influence out-of-wedlock births. Do celebrities influence out-of-wedlock births? That's the question being asked by this World Magazine article. And the question as to whether or not illegitimacy was on the rise is of course, obvious. We've answered that many times on this program. The illegitimacy rate in 1930 was 3%. 3%. That is 3% of kids who were born outside of wedlock, and now it's up to 41% and 57% among millennials under 30 years of age. So if you want to know the direction for the future, millennials, 57% of kids born to millennials are born out of wedlock, up from 3% in 1930. That would be about a factor of 20.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's huge.
A factor of 20. That's a 2,000.
That's 2,000, yeah.
On the rate, not the number of them, the rate of them. The rate has increased by 2,000%.
That's exponential.
By a factor of 20 times since 1930. And it shouldn't be surprising that millennials are doing this because the shack-up rate, the hookup rate, the whatever-up rate is increasing and increasing and increasing. Millennials chew Plan B pills like candy these days, don't they?
Yeah, I would think so.
I think they do, yeah. I mean, so, you know, yeah, the birth rate itself is dropping. So two things happening. They're chewing their Plan B pills like candy. The fornication rate is as high as it's ever been. And the birth rate is a little bit lower. But the illegitimacy rate on the few kids that make it out of the womb is really, really, really high. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, my friends. Well, Heritage Foundation has done a survey, extensive study on the illegitimacy thing, found that that census data, fragile family surveys show that marriage can be extremely effective in reducing child poverty. Children raised by married parents have substantially better life outcomes compared to similar children raised in single-parent homes. Children raised by single parents are more likely to have emotional behavioral problems, be physically abused, smoke, drink, use drugs, be aggressive, engage in violent, delinquent, criminal activity, have poor school performance, be expelled from school, drop out of high school, et cetera, et cetera. They're more than twice as likely to be arrested for a juvenile crime, twice as likely to be treated for emotional behavioral problems, roughly twice as likely to be suspended or expelled from school. And that's based on a survey that examines families with the same race and same parental education. In other words, all other things, factors being held constant, same race, same parental education, they're more than twice as likely to be arrested for a juvenile crime, twice as likely to be treated for emotional behavioral problems, roughly twice as likely to be suspended or expelled from school, third more likely to drop out before completing high school, and so forth and so on. So World Magazine says, okay, now this is increased by 20-fold. So all of these, this factor of illegitimacy that could that creates a hell on earth,
mm-hmm.
more or less, for these young people, this factor has increased by 20-fold since 1930, and here World Magazine says they think it's celebrities that lead the trends on these issues. All right, so here's a couple of takeaways from the World Magazine article. Hannah Grohl Prokopczyk is the study's author and sociologist at the University of Buffalo. Analyzed 400 cover stories from People Magazine between the premier issue in 1974 and the present to learn when interest in celebrity pregnancies began and how the magazine changed the way it presented the family over time. In May of 1976, Goldie Hawn, remember Goldie Hawn?
Oh, yeah.
She was an actress.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn was the first unmarried pregnant celebrity to make the front cover of the magazine in 1976. The photo caption made it clear. Hawn planned to marry. She's laughing with a baby and a new hubby on the way. That
wow.
was the headline,
yeah.
1976. Now, again, in 1976, illegitimacy was still seen as a negative. But it's not anymore. But why?
Right.
Because of Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
And because of People magazine. So she says, here's what the sociologist says that still appeared to be the expectation when People magazine announced Melanie Griffith's pregnancy in 1989, the expectation that they would marry, with a caption explaining she and Don Johnson were thinking about an April wedding. thinking about an April wedding. That's in 1982. And then you move forward. By the 1990s, social mores begin to change. By the mid-2000s, People magazine frequently showed celebrity couples who did not get married before the baby was born. According to the sociologists in the study, these out-of-wedlock births were almost always depicted as happy, unproblematic events. Now, okay, this, of course, is a terrible lie, because you heard the statistics from the Heritage Foundation.
Right.
Because you heard the statistics from Heritage Foundation. They said they're twice as likely to be arrested and thrown in jail, twice as likely to have emotional problems, on and on. And yet, it's presented by People magazine as this wonderful state of being in which very, very rich people have just a little bit of extra income in order to raise their kids without a father and somehow keep these children alive, somewhat adjusted to life, maybe kind of half of adjusted to life in emotional sense, such that at least the mother looks good on the front cover of People magazine. At least if she's got enough makeup on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You follow me here?
Yeah.
And so the public is going, ooh, well, I guess if it looks good on her, and I throw in this as well, if it looks good on the Sex and the City ladies, and if it looks good on the sitcom ladies that are presenting themselves as new single moms and corporate bosses, shuffling their kids off to daycare, and everything's good, and they're making all kinds of money, and it's all working out well for the single mom on the sitcom, then it's going to work out for me too. See, that's the mindset that Hollywood and Nashville are pressing in with every single song, practically every single movie, every single cover of People magazine that presents the dysfunctional lifestyle as something that's preferred for the tens of millions of rank-and-file Americans that sit and listen to these country music songs.
Yeah, I've got a maybe a shocker for a lot of people, but sitcoms and even reality TV isn't real. It's all scripted.
Yeah,
even reality TV is scripted.
Sure.
And so you can't take what you see on TV and apply it to life. They wrote the script to make it look like it was okay. And even the pictures, they make it look like it's okay. And it's not. The only thing that we have to go to is what God says.
So the proposition I'm working off of this morning, my friends, is that media is no longer influential on political issues. But media in Hollywood is still very definitely powerful and influential when it comes to cultural issues. And why does the devil not really care about the politics? Well, he doesn't care about politics, first and foremost, because if he can pervert the culture, then he can be sure that the next bunch of political leaders that rise up in the next 20, 30 years will be those that rise up out of the cultural destruction that has been set in place by the great media and cultural leaders of the 2010s. So Exodus 23 and verse 2 reminds us, you shall not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shall you speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Do not follow a multitude to do evil. And that's a principle that comes out in Proverbs chapter 1 as well. Exodus 23, Proverbs chapter 1 tells you, friends, don't follow the multitude to do evil. Because what is the multitude? The multitude is that which presents itself in clothing styles, presents itself in behavior and cultural standards and moral standards. How does it do it? It does it by way of media. It's interesting, Steve. I watch television, and I see what the media people are doing, what the cultural people are doing, what they're wearing, the standards, the types of clothes that they wear, the amount of cleavage they show, and all the rest of it. And then about a year or two later, you see that creeps into the Christian evangelicals. So they're always about a year or two after, but they always seem to follow the cultural standards like a hook to the nose. They follow whatever the great media standards are setting for them through the models that model the clothes, through Hollywood, through Nashville, through the news media. They're not necessarily voting the way that the media is telling them to vote, but they certainly are going the same way in terms of culture. There does appear to be a safety in numbers. That is, if everybody comes together and opposes God on sex outside of marriage or homosexuality, if these really powerful, cool movie stars take on God, maybe everybody together can beat God on this one. See, that's the assumption. That's what they're thinking. Well, they're wrong.
Yes.
They're really, really wrong.
God never loses.
Mm-mm. He never does. See, it's just the appearance that if you just get on board with what everybody else is doing and what the media and the culture and the movies and all of the attitudes, the dress, the lifestyles that is being foisted upon you by the media, whatever the media is saying is supposed to be the standard. They're the gods. They're the ones leading us. And somehow if we can join our arms together and set ourselves against God and against His anointed by breaking their bands asunder and cutting their cords from us, somehow that's going to enable us to beat God for the first time in human history. Well, boy, are they going to be disappointed when they find out that ain't happening. All right. Well, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast, we encourage people to repent on these things, to stop following the crowd to do evil, to understand that God presents a way of salvation to deliver us really from the bondage of these cultural slaveholders that are constantly trying to gain that control over us. The demon is angels, the god of this world, and the world itself that binds us to our sins. Well, Jesus came to set us free from that. If the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. That's what we read from Scripture. So, friends, you don't have to be taken by the nose by the great cultural icons in Hollywood, Nashville, and the media. You don't have to. The Son will set you free. You will be free indeed. So you'll find freedom in Jesus. He's come to set the captives free. Free from what? Free from sin. And that's the great story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just share that at the end here. Also encourage you a copy of my book, The Tattooed Jesus. What the real Jesus would say about pop culture. And I think you'd be interested in what he had to say about pop culture. Get a copy of The Tattooed Jesus at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.